Thank you. Got an echo going on here. Great things he has done. All right. Sean was up here taping us, so if you need it again, we can see Sean. There's two birthdays that happened today, I think, and I was told not to mention any specific names, but one name starts with A, and the other name starts with Z. So there you go. You just figure it out. One's 18 and one's, how old are you, Aurora? Oh, sorry. 9? 9 years old, half as much as that other person who starts with Z. We're going to be in God's Word, and if you got a copy of the Bible near you or you brought one with you, I welcome you to find in the New Testament the first Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, and we're going to be there in just a little bit. Every time you and I open our Bibles, I just want to remind you some things from the Bible about opening the Bible. Here's one. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is given by inspiration of God. This is God's Word that you have in your hand that you're going to listen to and read and obey by God's grace. And when we do that, all of it is profitable. There's value to this. There is not monetary value. There's not that kind of profit necessarily. But there is a inbuilt value, I guess we could say, to taking God and His Word to heart and to obey it. And the prophet is described in the next verse that the man of God, that means the person, whether male or female, may be complete. And that reminds you and me that when I open the Bible, I'm coming to it incomplete. There's stuff that I need from God that I don't have yet. I am not complete. So when I open it, it's profitable to complete me, to begin to put into place pieces of the puzzle that have fallen off or never were there because of my sin nature and my practices. It's profitable to make me complete through equipping me. That means I don't have everything I need. It is a sad day when I open my Bible thinking I've already got it all. And you too, by the way. And so every time we open God's Word, we come to it with the desire to profit, to be made more complete, to be equipped for what? For every good work. That means God's left us here as followers of Him, not to just sit, but to serve, to work, to be involved in the things of God. And so as you open your Bible this morning, I hope you'll come to it with those thoughts in mind. Here's another verse. Every time I open my Bible, be diligent, the Bible says, to present myself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It involves diligence to come to God's Word. It's not simply osmosis, just showing up this morning, either me or you. Does not mean anything's going to happen unless I take God's Word diligently to heart. Be diligent when you open your Bible to present yourself approved to God. You know you don't have to measure up to anybody else's standard, but you do have to measure up to God's. And that, by the way, is a far greater standard. But the gap between that standard and our failure has been bridged by the Son of God, and He, saving us, now sent His Spirit to empower us to obey that standard, which we couldn't have done before. And so we are diligent to present ourselves approved, not to each other, but to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing. That means to, well, I found out this, that word is a civil engineering word, to rightly divide. It means to cut a straight road. It is also not only that, but it's a mining term used from time to time to drill a direct shaft to the mother lode, to come to the place, the vein, the gold, if you will, of God's Word. And so as I cut a straight path, as I look to not be distracted, that's the way I would say it, not to be lazy, not to be distracted, not to be diverted. I come, God, speak to me through your Word. He has a way of answering it. And if that's your heart this morning, thank you. May God bless and show you things from His Word today. From the life of a man named Joseph of Nazareth. You know him as Mary's husband, right? A carpenter by trade, according to Matthew's gospel. Mary's husband, the adopted father of Jesus, the Son of God, the Father in heaven. This Joseph was the parent of at least 7 children, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, named there in specifics. This Joseph is last mentioned when Jesus was 12 years old, and then he fades off the picture or the pages of Scripture, so to speak. Don't know whether that signals a death or what, or just a silence. I don't know. But Joseph, last mentioned, he's the strong, silent type. Do you like that type of person, a strong, silent type? Well, if you do, Joseph's your man. Joseph's got some qualities that fit right in that. He was silent. In fact, there are no recorded words of this man in the Bible, not one. You can go all through the Gospels, and Joseph is there at key times. You know him in the Christmas story, right? Surrounded by all the angels saying a lot of words, and the shepherds saying some things, and the wise men later on. Joseph doesn't say a word that's recorded. I'm sure he spoke, but we don't have the benefit of hearing the words from his heart. So he's a strong, silent type. You may like that. I did a little research on the thought that men are quiet and women are not. Do you buy into that theory? You're wise not to say a word. This lady, Luann, published in a book called The Female Brain. One of the most cited gems within its pages was a claim that women speak an average of 20,000 words per day, nearly 3 times the mere 7,000 on average spoken by men. So far, so good. You believe that? Does that play out in your scientific studies around your dinner table? No? Yes? Maybe no. Well, a new study has been done and published in a magazine called Science. Data was obtained from an EAR, E-A-R, electronically activated recorder. This is not a joke. I know you're thinking, Pastor, you're setting us up for a joke. I'm not. This is data that was done by this device, which sampled 30 seconds of noise, which included conversation, every 12.5 minutes. Every 12 and a half minutes, there was a recording going on for 30 seconds. And they took that over time and added up the words. And guess what they discovered? Researchers sampled the chatter patterns of 396 university students, 210 women, 186 men at colleges in Texas, Arizona, and Mexico, according to the research. Results from this study: men and women actually use roughly the same number of words daily. Women, 16,215, men, 15,669 in this study of 300 and some people. Strong silent type isn't just men. There's some of the other gender with that, apparently, too. And so it's not although it's a stereotype in movies, I suppose, and in culture, this study, at least, did not bear up that thought that there's a great divide between men and women. But I do know this. Scripture says this: he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. And so in the light of that verse, let's close, and I'm going to quit talking. No, not really. But this next verse is a challenge. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in his words, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Remember that when we open our Bibles, one of the things it does is it completes us, it equips us. And one of the things God wants to do is to guide and shape and monitor and reconfigure your vocabulary through his word. Not that we start talking old English, but we start speaking things that are true and just and peacemaking and on and convicting where needed. And so our words are so important. Well, Joseph of Nazareth, he's a silent man. No recorded words, but he was a strong man. And if you found Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, I want you to notice that he was strong in his marriage. There's some of us here who aren't married. There are many of us who are. Some of us are the husband. Some of them of you are not. And there's things to be learned from this strong, silent man, Joseph, that'll impact relationship, the closest one called marriage. And so he was strong in marriage, this man, Joseph was. in his commitment. Do you find verse number 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18? If you know the story, or at least pick it up with me here. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged or betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, he was found with child of the Holy Spirit. He was betrothed to Mary. Can I just speak to those of you who aren't married yet and who may be? You are living in a culture and in a time where the pattern is just to test drive the relationship for a while first, just to move in together, just to take up life together before ever making a formal commitment to each other. Joseph runs against that cultural current in our day. He was going to commit himself to this woman. And in that culture, it was a remarkably, you can break an engagement in our culture without any eyes being raised very long. But in that culture, to be engaged was the equivalent, other than the physical part of the relationship, of being married. So he had made a commitment to this woman early on. And I want to challenge you. You know, there's that another thing that's said in our culture that guys are too shy. They won't make a commitment. They won't be boxed in. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, follow the men of God in his word. When you open it up, say, that's the way I want to be. Be committed to the woman that God brings into your life. Or else don't be fooling around with that, right? And so he was strong. Silent, yes, but strong in marriage. I want to challenge you. If God's leading you toward marriage, make a commitment when you're ready and run with it. Go with it. Be like Joseph in that sense. Look at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Remember the last part of verse 18, engaged, and now before intimacy, found pregnant in our terms. And so, verse 19, Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. The justice would be served in putting her away. The kindness or the compassion, he was strong in compassion, was he would not do it in a public manner. Probably had every right to in terms of the laws of the land, but he chose not to, this Joseph. He was a strong in marriage man. He could have had her stoned. If you read in the Gospel of John about the woman that Jesus meets, she was ready to be put to death for being caught in adultery. And I guess there's no other clearer way to show that you've been adulterous if you're not married and you're pregnant. So Joseph is faced with this dilemma. I don't know what you would do, men. I don't know what you would do. But Joseph chose to be compassionate in a time when he could have been very hard-nosed. And if he would have been looked up to, he would have been probably praised by the people around him for being just in that sense. But he was minded to put her away, but not publicly. He was committed. He is compassionate. His qualities come out in this verse, verse 20. He was calm. I like this verse. But while he thought about these things, some of us might say, what's there to think about? She's obviously been fooling around on me. I can't trust her. It's over with. We're done. On to the next step in life. Oh, I like this guy. But while he thought about these things, he gave time and room for God to speak and his heart to be properly guided. His calmness is remarkable here. And in the midst of that calmness, God did speak. He did speak. It says there, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Wow. If he had acted rashly and quickly, not calmly, he would have misread the most remarkable event in his life and ours. And yet he was calm. Are you noted as a calm person? Some of us, by temperament, jump quickly to the next thing, and we get that. We're different in those ways. But if you've come to the Bible today and said, "Well, that's just the way I am. I'm rash. I'm quick. I'm gonna get her done. I'm a mover and a shaker." Well, I'm challenging you right from the start. Come to God's Word, saying you need to be more equipped. You need to be more completed. There's stuff missing. You didn't come perfectly packaged, right? And Joseph may be an example of what God wants you to be more like, calm. Keep going, verse 24. You can jump down through what the angel said, and it was important. He named the child that was coming, told him the plan that God had for Jesus, gave a biblical basis for this in verse 23. And then look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. When he heard the truth from God, he acted on it. The calmness gave way to conviction and action. He believed, as we could say, and obeyed the angel of the Lord. And I hope that that would be true of you too, that you'd be strong in hearing, when you hear from God, God, if that's what you said, that settles it. I may not understand all the ramifications, but it's clear that you want me to take this step. You want me to be this way. You want me to speak these things, and I'm going to do it. And God has a way of honoring, like he did Joseph, those kinds of steps. And Joseph arose and did what the angel had commanded. And look at this next verse. He was in control of himself again, and did not know Mary till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I've always been intrigued by that word know. You know what that does? That just lets those who know what's being said know it. And those who don't know it, they don't know that they don't know it. And it is just perfect. Suffice it to say that Joseph exercised an area of self-control that is remarkably difficult for a man in love or a woman. Did not know her. Can I challenge you, if you are in that wonderful state of time where you're in love and you're going in the right direction, or maybe, can I turn the tables on us? Maybe you have been married so long that you feel like you are bored stiff and that there's greener pastures out there. Either direction. When you opened up God's word today and said, God, I am not complete and I am ill-equipped. What do I need to hear? You needed to hear that. You needed to hear that. Maybe there's some right in this audience that are wrestling with purity. We just sang that song that we would be pure. Holy Spirit, help me to live your purity. Well, Joseph is a guy that knew how to do it somehow. He's a red-blooded guy just like the rest. And yet, he did not know her until it was the right time. Remarkable man, a strong, silent type, strong in marriage. Look at chapter 2. His marriage and the relationship with Mary goes on later on after having heard these words from the shepherds and so forth. Look at verse number 13 and 14. Trouble rose, and it says in verse 13, after these wise men left, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. I'm in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And the angel said, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What a challenge that must have been for this young couple. I've wondered how they had the finances to go to Egypt. I mean, this was a newly betrothed and a new family being started. I wonder if that gold, frankincense, and myrrh in the verses right before there ended up to be God's provision for that flight, as it's called, to Egypt. In any case, Joseph took the lead, hearing of danger, said, we're going to obey God and leave and move to Egypt. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what Scripture said. I noticed, not just here, but multiple times in this chapter, that Joseph was a man who listened to God. Three times those verses listed there, he's hearing from God. God saying through the voice of his messenger, the angel, certain things. No wonder he had a strong relationship with God and then was able to lead. Men, my sense is that your spouse wants to follow you if she senses that you are a man who can be led by God. And so you're here today. You're here today, I suspect, because you want to be a good leader, in part. Good. Be that way. Keep your ear open to the Word of God and the counsel of godly people in your area of life. And it'll be God's way of moving you out of danger, maybe, and into some times of safety. It'll be amazing to watch Him provide so that you can lead in those ways. Oh, guys, let's step up. Be the strong, silent type. Let's be strong if we're married in this area of marriage. Joseph goes on now, and Jesus and Mary come back in the story of the life. And it's a remarkable passage. If you'll jump from Matthew in your copy to Luke, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke chapter 2, you'll find this last snippet of Joseph's recorded history. And in here, he and Mary are right in the thick of parenting. And so I'm going to remind you that Joseph was strong and silent. He was strong in marriage, but he's also strong as a father. And Luke chapter 2 is toward the end of the passage. You're going to find some things that will help you be better equipped as a dad. Some of you are here with blended families. You can identify in this sense with Joseph that the child of your wife was not from your loins. Joseph understood that. Here was, by the Holy Spirit, different than us, Mary with a child named Jesus who was not his flesh and blood. Some of you can identify with that. For whatever reasons, there has been a blending of former and current family life. Men, can I just encourage you from the life of all that we saw in Joseph that a key to being a good father and especially a stepfather is to love that child's mother. There'll be at least the greater opportunity of that child responding to your fatherly direction and guidance if he knows that the one who he or she loves, you love. And that becomes evident. And Joseph, all those things that we saw in Matthew chapter 1 allowed for the strength of fatherhood in Luke chapter 2. Just challenge you with that little thing. Just make that your emphasis. Love your wife. And it'll be amazing how God may open the heart of those who by nature may not be as open to you as you wish they were. I don't know the levels of frustration that may be, but this may be a little key that you needed to hear today to refocus on that piece of the puzzle. In any case, Luke chapter 2, look at verse 39, where we read this. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they, meaning Joseph and Mary, returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. This is why I call them Joseph of Nazareth. One thing I noticed in that verse, so when they had performed all things that God had said, here was a man who had a pattern of simply obeying God. And he wasn't trying to weasel his way around stuff that was less comfortable, that was less easy, that he was more inclined to, etc., etc. It's here. So when they had performed all things according to the law. That's a good pattern. I struggle with that with speed limits. Do you? All things according to the law. But that's maybe my problem, not yours. In any case, it is a remarkably helpful thing in a family where the dads show by example that they also know what it means to obey. Because after all, we dads, we know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents, for that is right. And boy, you better get that one there. You memorize that down in Awana and come home and be better. You know, all this stuff we're thinking. Well, all the time we're seeing laws and they're watching us seeing laws and they're thinking, yeah. So watch out. Joseph, he set a pretty high standard here. He obeyed. He obeyed God. Well, that's what we want to do, frankly, anyway, isn't it? It's just these people's rules that are such a pain. Until I read Romans chapter 13. It says that the powers that be are ordained of God. Ugh, can't get around that one either, right? And I've got to realize that God has a way. Have you ever driven down the road at the speed limit? Some of you are saying no. But anyway, have you ever driven down the road at the speed limit and come upon a recent accident? or watched a deer go ahead of you right there. I've had that happen, and I thought, thank you, Lord, that today I obeyed you. We have no idea how God uses his seemingly inconsequential pestering rules to keep us from things that, you know, we can't even see ahead of the road. Don't we think that about our children? You know, Junior and Juniorette, if you would just listen to me, I will protect you from such trouble down the road. Can't you see the deers crossing up here? No, they can't see the deer. You know what I'm saying? And so we show by our mature response what we hope theirs will become. What a guy this Joseph was. Didn't say anything that we know of, but he sure did live a message. He was obedient, verse 39. Look at verse 41. He was consistent. His parents, verse 41, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. This is what they did. They didn't wake up on Passover morning and flip a coin. I'm going to go to Jerusalem this year or not? No, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is what God asks us to do. I just want to challenge again, you are in the family world. Get consistent in all that you do for God. Are you going to be perfect? No. But we know the difference between the pattern and the exception. And what's the pattern of our lives? It's the pattern of our lives to be faithful to God, to obey him, to be where we should be according to his word. Strong guy this guy is, consistent, obedient. Verse 42, and when he was 12, that is Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished their days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his Mary did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. I like this about Joseph. It's the way I want to be better. As I was preparing this, this is one of the areas that I asked God to complete me more in, that I would be more trusting, not naive or hoodwinked or wool over my eyes. That's not the issue. But is the tendency in your heart, Dad, to say yes to your children? Because they will understand whether they are growing up in a no world or a I want to be able to say yes to the desires that you have. God help you to be and have me in my heart as well to be a trusting person. In who do I trust though? In God and then my child. I love this passage from Proverbs. It's written by a father, I think, to a son, at least in this passage, my child, he's saying, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Proverbs 3:21, hang on to them. Oh, don't we want our children to have common sense and discernment? Look at verse 22, for they will refresh your soul. They will be like jewels on a necklace. There's a value to them. There's a beauty to them. Can I just pause there? If you're worried, young people, about getting jobs down the road, let your parents help you develop discernment and common sense. And as those show in your life, in your actions, you will not have trouble being hired. There is a famine, a desert, a dearth of common sense and discernment in our world. You just talk to any of the men and women in this room that hire people. They are not looking primarily for college educations, probably, or wealth, or good looks. They are looking for common sense and discernment. Somebody who can see what's right and avoid it, and do it rather, and what's wrong and avoid it. And that's their pattern. They'll hire you and you will be promoted. This will be like a jewel on your neck. It will be a sign to anybody who cares, this is a person trustworthy. My child, don't lose sight of that. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. That's what a dad is longing for in his children, that they would develop these qualities. so that you can go to bed, not you, the dad, but they can go to bed without fear. We don't want our children living in terror of the culture around us or fear of the future. We want them to be able, next part, to lie down at night, able to rest. That God is taking care of them, that they have been well equipped for the days ahead, or will be able to learn well if they're not yet equipped. Look at this next verse. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. Here it is. For the Lord is your security. That's the trust that Joseph had. Now, he had the benefit of being the father to a perfect son. And that's something none of us have experienced yet, right? But he still had, in this case, Joseph and Mary are supposing some things about Jesus, and they are caught off guard. They wonder if this is the first time Jesus has done something wrong. I don't know if they're wondering that, but it kind of feels like it to them. We thought you'd be doing this, and you aren't. Any parent can be there. All of us have been. Do you trust in the Lord for your security? We have prayed, our family, Ann and I, often that our children at the crossroads of life when we are not around will be met by the Lord and his other tools in the toolbox so that they know that God is not, you know, like a Gestapo agent watching them, but he's there. The same things that were true at home are true here, and on and on. Joseph was a man of great trust. He supposed some things. I hope that your family is growing up in an environment with a dad who trusts them. It's amazing that children tend to respond to what they are expected of. Keep going. He's strong also in pursuing this Jesus. Verse 45, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. They pursued all the way back. They turned around from their planned homeward journey, and they drove all the way back. I don't know how you would respond, how you would come up to your son if you had to go all the way out of your way. Now, this was not Greyhound bus. This was not an airplane flight. This was walking a whole day back. And I could almost, if he wasn't a calm man, I could almost see the steam. And if there was any time that Joseph's words might have been recorded, it might have been right there. But he's a wise man. He lets his wife speak. Here in these next few verses, only Mary speaks. Not a word from Joseph. What a guy. What a guy. But the part I saw there, though, is those words they saw and they found. They went out of their way to a son that they thought was off track. And maybe you've got a child who is off track. As far as you're concerned, biblically and practically, they are going the wrong way. They are doing the wrong thing. The choices are not reflecting any discernment, any wisdom. What are you going to do? I know my tendency in the flesh is to say, I have poured into you. I have talked to you so many times. Call me when you hit bottom. I'm just being honest with you. That's my heart sometimes, out of frustration rather than the Spirit of God. I love Joseph and Mary. You know, I don't know what's going on, but Jesus may need me. Jesus may need us. We're going back. We're going back. You may have grandchildren that you are worried about. I just want to encourage you to be available, to be pursuing, to take the opportunities you have, friend, to keep after people. I'm not talking about nagging, but I'm talking about not dropping out, not being an absentee father or grandfather. Ah, Joseph, strong, pursuing, passionate. This comes out of Mary's words, verse 30. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. There was not just a, nice to see you're safe. Come on home. There was a, I don't know what happened. Are you all right? We thought we'd lost you. There was an anxiousness, a proper anxiousness here, a passion. Do your kids think you're passionate about anything? Are you so mellowed out that they're not sure you really care about anything other than the Yankees? They're worth caring about this year. But anyway, or sports, or the latest hobby, or the next series on TV. Come on, guys. Are you passionate about them? Does it show in you going out of your comfort zone to be in their world? But I don't like blank what they're doing. If it's not sin, get involved. Anyway, passionately pursuing. And lastly, verse 52, it says this, and Jesus, at the end of all this, he came back home to Nazareth, verse 51, and was subject, obedient to them. And look at verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, comma, and in favor with God and men. I like that. Proper order, wisdom and stature. We all want our kids to grow up and be strong and be healthy and be okay looking, you know? We want them to fit in. We want them to increase in stature. It's a heartbreak when some child never grows physically. But could you say, I'm not asking you to say it just glibly, I would rather have my child grow in wisdom even if they aren't as good looking as the next. I would rather have my child grow in godly wisdom than being muscular or well-shaped or whatever stature means. I am appreciative of that verse, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor, the next one, with God and men. Oh, we want our children to get along with people. We want them to have public tactfulness and kindness and to be comfortable in front of groups and in front of individuals. We want them to grow in favor with men. We want them to get jobs and be recognized at school and on the team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We want that. But there's going to come a time, isn't there, in all of their lives where they have to choose between being approved by men or God. And Jesus here, as it says, increased in favor with God. It's amazing when a person increases in favor with God, the right people recognize them too. And so Joseph is pretty silent, but he's pretty strong in marriage and in fatherhood in so many good ways. And so if I'm going to profit, remember the word of God is profitable. If I'm going to profit from Joseph's example, as a person, let my godly actions outperform my words. Help me, God, to be a more silent, strong type. My godly actions outperform my words. Help me to profit as a husband, since I'm a man and I do have children with Anne and I want to profit in these ways. I want to recommit to loving her. I'm noticing some of you are as well, that children come and children go. Anne and I are together. And it's a great reminder, Joseph is here, to love my child's mother. It's easy to forget that. I want to protect my wife from gossip. It's a cruel world out there with words that hurt and worse. And if I have any chance, I don't want to be a part of the problem of hurting her reputation. So I could profit from Joseph's example that way. I could profit from Joseph's example by listening to God first and then leading lovingly and boldly. I could profit from Joseph's example as a husband by developing the fruit of self-control. Could you? Do you need to? And lastly, I can profit, and I hope you will too, as a father, from Joseph's example of leading first and best by example. Less words, more talk. More walk. Less talk, more walk is what I meant to say. Be known for trusting God and others. What a call to faith in God, to know him well enough to be able to trust him, to never stop passionately pursuing my child, my children, our children, your children. Don't give up. Don't check out. Don't leave the scene mentally or physically and get my priorities from God's word. I love the way Joseph listened and obeyed, listened and obeyed. No wonder, of all the men that God the Father chose to have his son on earth shepherded by, it was Joseph. Strong, silent type. Some good stuff there. And so, maybe your prayer as you go this morning right now, that someday along the road you could say, and you put your child's name in there, increased in wisdom and stature. Glad they grew up. But I'm glad they're wise. And in favor with God and men, I'm glad that they seem to be able to get a job and hold it and get along with people. But I'm sure glad that God can smile on them. Let's pray that that would happen right now. Lord in heaven, thanks for this Joseph of the Bible and what we've learned. We've opened your word. Help us to, as we close it now, let it take residence in our heart and show up in our lives this day even. On the way home in the cars, there's things to talk about. I pray that Joseph and his example might be part of that, or at least displayed in that. I pray for the men of this church, especially those that are married and with children, that you would be doing your work deeply and lastingly for the glory of God and the good of wives and children. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.